Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are meditating on the Lord's Prayer. We are meditating on the sixth petition of the prayer. Lead us not into temptation. We saw that God does not tempt anybody, and God does not lead anybody to temptation. We saw the expression, lead us not means let us not be led, or leave us not a prey, a victim to temptation. Hand us not over, allow us not to be defeated in temptation. So this is a positive prayer formulated in a negative way. Not that God leads anybody. It's a cry, a prayer of a person who feels threatened by the forces of evil around him. Jesus, pointing to the danger of succumbing to the evil forces. We saw that even though the presence of the kingdom is proclaimed by Jesus, there is also the presence of the kingdom of evil, the kingdom of Satan, who remains still powerful and enemy. And so the prayer is as a cry for help, a cry to the Father who knows us, who can help us. The word temptation, often translated also as test, is a translation of a Greek word peirasmos, which again comes from the Hebrew root nasa, which can have two meanings, that of testing, putting on trial, and also tempting. We saw that God does not tempt anybody, but God allows people to be tested. God gives opportunity for people to remain faithful, to express their faith, and by the test and trial, the faith to be strengthened. One more example from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Having been disciplined a little, they will receive great good, because God tested them and found them worthy of himself. Like gold in the furnace, he tried them, and like a sacrificial burnt offering, he accepted them. Speaks about the death of the just, the righteous. Even though it could be seen as a failure, as a total loss for the outsiders, for the unbelievers, the death of the righteous is a gain, a sacrificial death. Well, such persecution, sufferings, loss, God will allow in order to strengthen the faithful. Now, the word peirasmos has another nuance, and that is temptation. Different from testing and trial, temptation is an invitation to do evil, something that forces one to go against God and his commandment. Temptation is always to evil. Temptation is to do something against God's will and purpose. So this is totally different from testing. This comes from an evil force. It comes with an evil intention and leads to evil. And temptation can have various grades and various aspects. And we are trying to focus on this particular aspect of temptation. And that's what Jesus is asking us to pray. Let us not be led into temptation. Some examples would help us to clarify the meaning of temptation. How test and temptations are different, but at the same time related. They appear similar, but it can have two different meanings. We start again with the story of Adam and Eve. Adam was tested by God. Adam, the first man, was created and he was placed in the paradise. And he was given a commandment. The commandment was this. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. This is a commandment, this is a warning, this is a test. God has given a commandment to the man, to the human being, and it was meant for his good. It was also a test whether man would obey, man would trust in God. So initially, this can be considered as a test that would prove the fidelity, the obedience of man. But at the same time, the commandment has more in it. It's not a whimsical commandment. Just eating or not eating of a fruit is not the case. The commandment is whether, or the test is whether one would respect God, whether one would trust God, whether one would obey God. Adam could do either way, as Abraham could do either way. Abraham could have stayed in Haran, and then the test would have become a temptation for him. Abraham could have refused to offer Isaac, and then it would have been a refusal to obey, and then it would become a temptation. Here again, the commandment, the invitation is a test. Adam could have obeyed. But into this commandment, into this test comes a new element, and that's where the temptation comes in. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, is a beautiful presentation of the temptation and fall. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. The serpent here stands as a symbol of evil, symbol of Satan that leads people astray. He said to the woman, did God say, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? Here is the beginning of the temptation. The question is somehow put in a way that makes the commandment of God rather too harsh and too difficult to obey. You shall not eat from any tree in the garden. So the commandment has been twisted, not exactly what God had said. And here a chance is given for the woman to defend God and to explain the commandment. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. The first part is denied. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. Nor shall you touch it is an addition from the part of the woman. So what happens here is the commandment of God, which was meant for the good of the people, is now made an object of discussion. An object of discussion, an object of dispute, in which the commandment itself is distorted. So this dispute, this discussion on the commandment somehow gives the opportunity to ask about the intentions of God. Why did God give such a commandment? The second question, or second affirmation rather, the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the commandment of God, which was meant for the good of the humans, is now presented as an evil intention of God, of a jealous God who wants to keep his divinity from all others, a God who is afraid that the human beings will rise to such an extent that they themselves become God. So in order to prevent the humans from becoming God, God has given this commandment. So the intention of God is interpreted as evil. And the commandment that forbids is presented as evil. So something which was good in intention is presented as something evil. And something which is evil in itself is presented as good. you shall not die. God said, the moment you eat it, you will die. And the serpent says, the tempter says, you will not die. So it is the denial of God. And it's also depicting God as someone jealous, someone evil, an enemy of the human beings. And then presenting something evil as good. So the moment you eat this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will know good and evil and you will be like God. So some supernatural power is being promised by this breaking of the commandment. So this in fact is the temptation. The temptation is presenting evil as good and good as evil. Twisting the nature, twisting the character, twisting the whole commandment. And now the person who is caught up in this process of the tempter somehow sees everything in a totally different light. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took off its fruit and ate. So all the senses of the human person is somehow clouded by the temptation. The tree was there. The beauty of the tree was already appreciated even before the tempter came in. But now a particular attraction to this, the beauty of the tree somehow entices the eyes, the imagination. And the promise that this will give a power is attracting the intelligence, the will. All the capacities are somehow caught up in this process of temptation. The imagination, the senses, the intellect, all is somehow twisted. Now one does not see it anymore correctly, in the correct perspective. The human being is asked to see the entire commandment and reality in a twisted, distorted fashion. And this leads to sin. So this is how the Bible presents temptation. Temptation comes from outside. Temptation comes from the power of evil. A power that is against God, against what is good. A power that tries to destroy humanity, the nature. A power that tries to estrange, alienate people from God. So from this power, Jesus is asking protection, asking the Father to protect us. So in the book of Genesis, we see how the temptation is taking place. This kind of temptation was constant in the life of Israel. Abraham was tested and Abraham remained faithful. And the patriarchs somehow were tested and they could withstand the test and they could become strong, they could become friends of God. And the people of Israel, they were tested. And the test became a temptation. In the desert, they failed. It's again and again reported that they failed, that they did not obey God, that they started tempting God, they started questioning God and disobeying. This comes to a head in the time of Samuel. In the first book of Samuel, chapter 8, verses 4 to 9, we have a report of the people of Israel in the face of a grave threat from the Philistines comes to Samuel asking for a king. Then the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint us then a king to govern us like other nations." The people want a king to govern them. They want to become as other nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." So here we see a radical temptation, a temptation to reject God and appoint a king. God was their king and now they want a human king. So the temptation of Israel, be it in the desert, be it in the promised land, is a temptation to reject God and choose someone or something in the place of God. This we see clarified by the prophets. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, we see the temptation, how is being realized, and how the people fall victim to this great temptation. Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, offspring who do evil, children who deal corruptly, who have forsaken the Lord, who have despised the Holy One of Israel, who have utterly estranged. So this is the result of temptation. Forsake God, go away from God, forget God, insult God, or reject God. Rejecting God and choosing something instead. That Jeremiah tells us. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. So this is temptation. Temptation is to reject God and choose something other than God, in God's place. To abandon the source of living water and to dig up cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Temptation is ultimately temptation to apostasy. Go away from God, reject God, and choose something in his stead. We will see further how Jesus clarifies to us the temptation, how Jesus was tempted, and how Jesus invited the disciples to remain faithful, vigilant, praying, guarding against temptation, praying that they do not enter into temptation, they do not be abandoned to temptation. We will see it in our next session. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, you are our Father, you are our God. We are your children, tempted, tested, tried. Often we feel tested beyond our power. Often we feel like falling under the weight of tests. And often we see that the tests turn out to be temptations. Father, allow us not to be tested beyond our limits. Abandon us not to the powers of evil that cloud our understanding. Father, let us not be led into temptation. Amen.